this point, Brother Julius has the next discourse, and his topic is the parable of the farmer. The parable of the farmer. Brother Julius.
Thank you, Brother Jonathan, and to all of you, brethren, shalom. Greetings from our family back home. And I, if I may, acknowledge a dear sister right here, a sister Hedman, Margaret Hedman. She so happens that you're all special to me at this convention, but she's extra special. We convey to you the greetings from also Sister Antoinette Franco. Some of you may recall her. She's semi-invalid. I should also mention my sister-in-law, Eva Cooper, who some of you may recall. She has been shot in recent months. Special greetings from Sister Judith Suter, Sister Mary Mascala, and if I may add, Frida Carabas, Larry Quiet, Laura Kelsey, and Elsie Hurd. I don't have all of those greetings, but I'm sure they would be delighted to know that we're thinking of them. And, brethren, the list, you know, the list grows longer and longer. The parable of the farmer, I don't think it may be quite what you have in mind. It has a twist to it. But I think you'll share satisfaction of my presentation. Question. Why do we wait until a person is dead until we give them a tribute? You know, we brother so-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, 50 years service, you know, then the person dies and we pay a tribute. Why don't we tribute them before they die? The tribute that we intend to pay at this time, the people, as you see, are well, they're living and doing well indeed. Point number one, a tribute to a well-deserving family and ecclesia, number one. Number two, we're going to give you a puzzle. If you recall, once in a while, we give you a little puzzle to keep you sharp, especially at this time of the day. Now, within that puzzle, naturally, we're going to talk about the subject. And stay within the scope of interaction, of spiritual interaction, and prayerfully mutual edification. And number three, in conclusion, the rest of the story. Those three points. Inasmuch as we're giving a tribute to an ecclesia and some people, we might ask also, can we think of some ecclesias in the scriptures which had some unique and interesting traits? And one that comes to mind right away, of course, was, for example, the ecclesia at Philippi. What were they known for? for their warm hospitality, weren't they? Because what was the lady's name from Philippi? Lydia. Lydia, most hospitable person. Where was the first Christian church established? The Antioch, the book of Acts, right. And an ecclesia that showed very profound concern for the Apostle Paul, and one of the most tenderest ties, affection that a people could show for the Apostle Paul. Remember who they were? Ephesus, when they kissed him, when they were crying because he was leaving them, he was going to Jerusalem. So that was a very tender, affectionate occasion. On the other hand, the Apostle Paul, he reprimanded one ecclesia in particular, remember, on various occasions. He rebuked them for a variety of violations. There were the Corinthians. Remember how specifically, particularly, on their abuse, misunderstanding of the Lord's Supper. We commence our focus on this tribute by listing a number of letters and to each assigning a related activity and meaning relevant and complementary to our subject. I hope you all have pencil and paper. We start with the letter S. S as in Sam. And naturally, we're not just going to give you a letter. We're going to assign an activity to it, a meaning to it. And I was delighted how Brother Steve spoke on faithfulness and activity and service to the truth. Our Brother Ted on the servants of the Lord and so on, activity in the truth. And our Brother Bob spoke on patiently waiting. And still, we got to serve the Lord while we're waiting. So, service is the first aspect that is related to the letter S. And friends, what could be a greater tribute to acknowledging our Heavenly Father than if you and I could be labeled or called His servants? And I noticed, you know, when you're the last speaker, somebody almost inevitably will mention some of the scriptures you're going to mention. It's inevitable, but it's okay. That's fine. I think it was Brother Ted that mentioned the aspect of service. Whosoever is chief among you, let him be your servant. What a concept! How humbling they should be to us to appreciate what the Master was saying within the context of serving. You want to amount to something? You want to be great in the Lord's sight? Be humble. Be a servant. Incidentally, we like some radio commentators occasionally, they talk about the indispensable service that the farmers render to our country. I think years ago, when Dominic was born, this goes way back. The percentage of farmers in our country might have been 30-40% of the people were farmers. Today, I think it's something like maybe 2%. Very, very small amount. But the point, brethren, can you imagine going to a supermarket and not finding a produce department? Oh my goodness. No bananas, no strawberries, no apples, no lettuce. Oh, that would be pretty drastic, wouldn't it? So the farmer renders a most wonderful service. And we noticed that our brother Robert Gray mentioned Habakkuk 3:16 and 17 about this drastic time, this dire time in the history of the world, and conditions would be so severe. As I agree with him that this is perhaps in the very near future, where the flock would be wanting, the fig tree would not have a fruit, no herd in the stall, and so on. So you see, within that spiritual connotation, we see that there is a critical need for the agricultural aspect of our situation. Your second letter is E. E for enthusiasm. Brethren, are we not reaching for the stars? Star differs from star in glory. We are. We appreciated one of the all the talks that were given today, as well as a recent Hartford convention, and one of them was given by our brother John Baker, I believe it was, on the zeal of thine house hath consumed thee. And you know, one of the definitions that we can give zeal is that zeal assesses a sense of urgency. I like the way Brother Greg closed this talk. Brethren, today, what a call to be more active, more useful in the Lord's service. And a recent manna text, also on Titus 2:14, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Not peculiar in dress or manner, but peculiar in that we're separate from the world and its spirit. Farmers are a separate and unique people. They are dedicated to their vocation, and they have a very positive outlook, and so should we. As God's children, letter number 3 is R. Okay, now it's going to be tough for you, but I'm going to help you along somewhere along the line. I'm going to help you to resolve this thing. Letter R, we assign to it the word refuge and separateness from the world, as we just noted on the previous letter and comments. Brethren, let me ask you a question. Refuge. What is the difference between loneliness and solitude? There is a distinct difference. Loneliness has been labeled as the cruelest word in the English language. Our Lord Jesus was a lonely man for different reasons. Prophetically, it was uttered that he would be lonely, he would be cast off, he would be mistreated. On the other hand, solitude can be quite desirable. It affords a much-needed meditation time, which cannot be done any other time, just when we are alone. For the farmer, he is a busy person. He or she has no time for interruptions. We could say that a farmer is in a world of his own. We recall the magnificent words of Lamentations chapter 3, again referring to, we believe, prophetically to our Lord Jesus, the prophet Jeremiah. Just quickly, we notice Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear his yoke, the yoke in his youth. And then we believe most dramatically this next verse applies to our Lord Jesus. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He hath borne it upon him. And if you recall, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, corroborates our Lord's great burden that he carried and how he did it in silence. And then also the Gethsemane experience was a very lonely, yet he needed, it was a lonely experience, but at the same time it was an occasion for solitude under which he could only do what he had to do, pray in the manner that he did to his Heavenly Father. Your fourth letter is C, as in cat, C, and we assign to it courage, commitment. A literal farmer has to have outstanding strength, courage. Courage denotes commitment right from the heart. With most farmers, they mortgage their homes and equipment to progress and produce and thus survive. Has anybody here been a farmer? Anybody? You have been a farmer? Thank you. You can relate a little more than to what we're saying. One saying is that farming is not for sissies or for the faint-hearted. Likewise, spiritually, courage is a key ingredient essential in the work of cultivating for self and character development, as well as for the benefit of others. We might ask, how firm is our commitment? What are we giving up? My recent conclusion on defining overcoming, you know the scripture, to him that overcometh, then we talk about the church and the great company, and the distinction, and daring to distinguish what overcoming is compared to evidently the great company is less than overcomer. But my conclusion recently, I may share with you for perhaps further discussion, that an overcomer is one that copes well with his or her own problems and is able to help others. Your fifth letter is A. A for atmosphere. fresh air is a commodity unique to farming. Again, related to a separation from the pollution of the cities, the world. Did you notice coming up, driving up to this facility, how we climbed to a higher level? You know, yesterday, for those of you who were at the panel discussion and study, we, under the capable leadership of our brother Ted Martin, we talked about Colossians chapter 3. And one of the key points in that chapter is about setting our affections on things above. And that was emphasized quite a bit. Let's set our affections on things above. Well, after the study, we were outside in the yard. We were eating, fellowshipping. And lo and behold, this hot air balloon starts coming by. And we were all looking at it. And somebody remarked, the Lord is making a point here. Set your affections on things above. It was well timed. Coincidental? Of course not. It was providential. When flying, those of you who fly, like Brother Ken Ross and some of you, Brother O'Malley and others, they fly quite a bit. Did you notice coming down or you look down on the earth below you and you wonder, how can that environment sustain life? Have you ever wondered that? We've flown to Los Angeles, and as we approach Los Angeles, we say, how can anything live in that, environment? That's how bad it can be. That smog and pollution. So, fresh air is a physical plus to one's well-being. I never forget a cute story I heard years ago about two scientists talking shop. They were comparing notes. And one of them said to the other, Herman says, let's step outside and get a whiff of fresh air. And responded Herman, we are outside. Spiritually, brethren, there is no fresh air, except as it is filtered through the process, the provisions of present truth, to which our brother Steve and the others mentioned, the meat in due season. Do we see a polluted city? What is her name? Babylon. Babylon the Great. Praise God that we have climbed out of her. Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, that ye partake not of her sins or her plagues. Your next letter is T. T as in Thomas. We assign to T trials. And the problems confronting a farmer can be quite overwhelming. From pests to climate, he is in constant danger of failing. His livestock is subject to predators. And we like the quick reference to the parable of the sower. And there you recall how the Lord Jesus in a most magnificent, unforgettable setting, he gave the parable of the sower. And we recall the four possibilities that he gave about the sowing of the seed. Number one, the seed could fall on by the wayside. Number two, it could fall on the stony places. Number three, it could fall into thorns. But number four, it could fall into the good ground. Which would represent, the good ground would represent a fertile heart, a good and honest heart. As you know, our Lord's parable was meant to picture what Israel is like, and I think those of you who have been to Israel can verify that there are stony places, and there are thorns, and there are pathways, but by the wayside. So it is a privilege, brethren, to have received the seed and to have responded to it. Question: can we name some famous farmers from the Bible? Let me give you a clue. I see. When somebody gives somebody else, what was it? Corn and wine. Do you recall that one? I would say he was a pretty good farmer. Who was that? Who paid tithes to Melchizedek? Abraham. At this time, his name might even have been Abram. Maybe he hadn't been changed yet. I think of Abram. I think of Jethro, famous farmer. What about Job? Remember all the wealth Job had? All the cattle and so on. And natural Israel, generally, they were nomads, meaning that they were wanderers. Meaning that the produce department wouldn't do them any good. There were no supermarkets in their day. They had to pretty much grow their own food. Okay, letter number seven is, again, we give you another S. S as in Sam. Okay? But since we have already considered it, we'll just touch on it briefly for simplicity. To be plain, genuine, and we might add how meaningful the word sincere. One that is sincere has no veneer, is not a phony, has nothing to hide. What you see is what you get. Shiny on the outside and shiny on the inside. Brethren, with us, spiritually, nothing else would be acceptable to our Heavenly Father. Purity of heart, sincerity, are essential. Says the Apostle Paul, let love be without dissimulation, that is, let it be genuine, Romans 12:9. And to build a reputation of sincerity requires a lifetime. And what would happen if a farmer sold you some bad apples? His reputation would be at stake, wouldn't it? And so it is with us. We could never betray one another spiritually. Our reputation would be jeopardized. Letter number eight, E. Again, this is a repeat because of the... Okay, let me just give you a quick clue here, what we're after. The
The title thereof, it's a title, it's a name. It has two words in it. Okay?
Anna May looks, sounds like she has it already. Again, we touched on the letter E, but we see another application to it, and that is E for environment. A farmer can live or die by his own environment. What if he pollutes his water or poisons his feed accidentally? His livestock could be mysteriously become ill, and the source could be from within. Spiritually, brethren, the Master commanded Peter, feed my flock. What a responsibility to feed God's flock. The elders of the ecclesia are responsible to feed God's flock. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2, again, Peter. Now he asks, first it was asked of him by the Lord Jesus 3 times, remember? Now Peter says, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elders, and to the elders you feed God's flock. For an elder to feed God's flock, his life has to be dedicated to study and meditation. If he doesn't, the flock will suffer. Your next letter is V. V as in volume, for vitality. You want an example of vitality? Try and follow Sister Harriet Simonis around when she's working. You'd have some difficulty keeping up with her. But anyway, vitality is a byproduct of proper food, proper nutrition, exercise, motivation, and a good night's sleep. A farmer could tell us about that. We have an excerpt here about a good night's sleep. Incidentally, Israel was the promised land. The land promised to them. What was the promise? That it would flow with milk and honey. I want to read just something brief about the two. It is titled, Warm Milk Really Does Promote Sleep. Yes, a warm glass of milk really does promote sleep. If you sip milk at bedtime, you will increase your chances of dropping off to sleep and an enjoyable, restful, healing night. Honey is another old-time, long-trusted sleep remedy. We know this because, like milk, it helps the brain produce a calming, relaxing chemical called serotonin, I think it's pronounced. Serotonin, S-E-R-O-T-O-N-I-N, serotonin. See, I'm more brave than Brother Gray. There's one word he wouldn't dare pronounce, remember? Serotonin is a neurotransmitter, a chemical which governs brain activity. The body makes serotonin from a protein, tryptophan. It is found in foods such as milk and honey. So the Lord knew what he was doing when he was sending them to the promised land. Your next letter is R. I think you had that once already. And farmers are resourceful. They have to be to make a go of it. Sometimes they are in remote areas. They have to shift on their own, so to speak. And yet it would be folly not to mention and compare that spiritually on our own resourcefulness as it comes in. Our source of resourcefulness comes from our faith in the Lord. We recall the scripture in Ecclesiastes 11:6, where it has a literal as well as a symbolic application, where it says, "Who recalls Ecclesiastes 11:6 by memory?" Not by memory. I mean, with memory says, "I'll help you." In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thine hand. But for thou knowest not whether it will prosper this or that. But the point is that we do what we can, and the Lord will do the rest. We must exhibit resourcefulness. On the aspect of being resourceful, how often you hear that his grass is greener than mine? Well, could it be that he works a little harder at it? We like a saying along this line that is that luck, you know, you say, "Oh, that, he's lucky." Luck, goes the saying, is the residue of design. Or in plain language, success is the product of elbow grease or resourcefulness. What number are we on? I have number 11. Okay, we give you another A. Looks like some of you might have a hint here. We talked about it already, but we see another angle to it, that of activity, which is so meaningful to us and essential to us. In the sense of making discreet use of our time. You know, if you think retirement is easy, it isn't. Because when you go to work, your time is pretty well prescribed. But when you're retired, you have who pulls here, who pulls there. Well, you don't know, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to please? It's a real challenge to be retired. In fact, Hugh Downs on ABC television, we read where he retired, and he was so overwhelmed with his retirement that he went back to work. His secretary says, talked to him, says, "You go back to work." He did. And that solved his problem. So, discretionary time is a real challenge. One of our studies recently, we wrestled with this idea of devoting our time. How do we devote our time to the Lord? And brethren, you know, our days are so challenging to us. It seems that Brother Steve mentioned a piece of the pie, and Brother Bob mentioned the pie. But I think of a piece of pie, the concept that Brother Steve mentioned quite often. How much of that pie does the Lord get? And then, you know, we talked about, we said at the study meeting, we said, well, you know, maybe we ought to go back to the tithing system. At least the Lord would get 1/10. And 4A farmers are great achievers. Okay, what's the last letter?
Very good. Very good. I'm delighted that you... what a beautiful letter is letter H. We can say H, harmony, music. Do you know that according to the radio a couple of days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, harmony and music, now there are people that go to college to learn to be musical therapists. Therapists. That means that they treat patients with music. And you know why they're doing that in college? Because it works. Music has therapeutic value. Our God is musical. Who is more musical than our God? Someday we'll be able to sing with better voices than we do now. Let the word of Christ remain as a rich treasure in your hearts. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with grace in your hearts to God. We read that yesterday from Colossians 3. What a beautiful text. Psalms 104:33. I will sing with the Lord as long as I live. Okay, our puzzle then is Harvest Acres. And I do not know of a farm that deserves that title more than the farm on Benton Road in Morris, Connecticut. Or the one belonging to Harriet and Tony Simonis. I will say to the reapers, gather my wheat into my barn. Tony, Harriet and company have been doing that for so many years. They have been cultivating and reaping for many years. God has blessed their efforts richly. How many letters in that did we say? 12? Coincidence. 12 apostles. Great farmers. They sowed a lot of seeds. They were truly used by our Lord Jesus and Jehovah God. Okay, the rest of the story. In conclusion, our title is The Parable of the Farmer. Brother Tony Simonis came to serve our ecclesia. He can perhaps verify this later on with me. I would say maybe 20, 25 years ago. Of course, he's been there several times since. And he was going to speak to us, and I was a chairperson. I was a chairman at the occasion. And I commenced to introduce him and say, you know, this brother, he impresses me in so much by his zeal. I don't even recall, brother, if you were married to Sister Harriet or not, but that's irrelevant. And I went about introducing him, saying how he resembles the farmer in so many ways, how he reaps, he sows, he cultivates, he's so zealous, he witnesses, and so forth. He has all the qualities of a farmer. So Brother Tony gets up to speak. I'm wondering what was going through his mind. Because I was unaware of what his topic was. And I wonder what he thought about. When he announced his topic, it was the parable of the farmer.
It was a wonderful topic, Brother Tony. And we're so grateful that we were here today to share that experience with you and with you brethren, in paying a tribute to Harvest Acres and the Simonis and the Waterbury Ecclesia, and above all, to our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus. Drive safely. May the Lord bless.
Thank you very much, Brother Julius. We appreciate that creative message and your spiritual guidance in your discourse this afternoon. You remember that you had the concluding discourse recently at the AGWAM convention, and now again here in Waterbury, and we found them both a blessing and good-speed discourses in both cases. We appreciate them. Brother Julius will close with prayer. And then a few announcements before the convention closing of hymn 64.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Jehovah, our Maker. We thank Thee, loving Father, for the blessings of this day. And we do pray that You would bless every heart that was represented here, every household, every ecclesia. Special blessing upon the Waterbury brethren. And we do pray for Thy people everywhere. And now we also pray for safe journeys. And may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just a few announcements before we close the convention. We'll be turning to hymn 64 shortly for a closing hymn. But a few announcements. There was a ladies' hairpin found in the ladies' room this afternoon, so if anybody is missing that, we have that at the front podium. The Waterbury Friends do have refreshments before our travels available, and they did mention that they need to lock up the hall by 6 tonight, and that would require much work to be done to secure the tables and chairs and return them to their original places before closing up at 6. So they'd appreciate any efforts of the Friends in doing that after the meal. We do appreciate the efforts of the Waterbury Brethren to arrange for our spiritual advancement today and the temporal provisions that they have arranged. We thank very much Brother Steve Sarasi, Brother Ted Martin, Brother Ed Warfler for covering the testimony meeting, Brother Bob Gray, and now Brother Julius for their discourses. We also thank the Sunday school leaders and the organists who helped out today. So by a showing of our hands, we'd like to extend our love to those who weren't able to be here, our Christian encouragement from the convention to those back in our home ecclesias and also those that we will travel and meet with. Very good. Okay, I think that covers the announcements. Perhaps we could all stand and sing hymn 64 and then have our refreshments. Hymn 64.